And welcome to the WW Review. I'm your host, Chris Malik, and I'm joined once again by my co-hosts, Laura Fitzpatrick and Peter Ponacorvo. How are you guys?
Hey, Chris.
Good. How you doing?
Doing well. All right, let me spring something on you. Even before we get started, I want to throw something at you. I want you to rank these resorts in order from 1 to 5. Would you rank individually the value resorts at Disney? Peter, you first. See, I sprung it upon you.
Pop, Art of Animation, movies, sports, music.
Man, you were fast. Laura.
Well, in preference of where I would stay or where I think my guests would stay?
Let's go with you.
Okay, because it's different.
Okay.
Music.
Interesting. Okay.
Music. Movies. Pop, Art of Animation, sports.
Wow, Art of Animation down low.
Yeah.
Wow. And where would your guests like to stay?
Pop and Art of Animation.
Okay.
Movies, if they can't get Art of Animation.
Okay. Interesting perception. Mm-hmm. So here's why I threw that at you guys. And I know I gave you some hints of what we're going to do today, and I gave you some homework. So I know you guys were none too happy with me earlier in the week.
How did I get 5, by the way? Just curious.
I saw that.
That's why I only did 3. It's fine.
So here's why. You guys saw the news about Universal's price increase, and we were trying to take a preemptive strike, fully expecting Disney to raise their prices as well. So back on February 10th, Universal raised their price only by a few dollars, but their basic admission went from $102 to $105, and that's for one adult for a single day to only a single park. If you wanted to go to two parks, to both parks for Universal, that jumped up a little bit as well to about $8 or so. But essentially what we were trying to do was we expected Disney to raise their prices, and if you watch social media, you see doom and gloom, and you see everyone saying, Disney, you've had my last dollar, we're never going back again, we can't afford to go anymore. But we wanted to give a comparison to the Disney parks, to other things to do in the Orlando area. So we each took a little bit, a smattering of resorts and attractions and parks and attractions, and we wanted to kind of present that to you to see if essentially the Disney parks are still a value. So we all kind of approach this a little differently, so bear with us. We have some really interesting results today, and you can form your own opinion as well as, you know, I know Pete and Laura have their own as well, too. So, Laura, you want to start off? What did you do?
I researched Universal Orlando.
Okay.
You kind of just gave a little bit of the pricing that I researched. So I just compared Universal's prices to Disney prices. And I know some people would say, well, you can't do that. They're completely separate. But even though they're completely separate, it seems whenever there's a price increase on one, the next place raises their price too. So, like you just said, a one-day single-park ticket at Universal is $105. And then with tax, it comes out to $111.83. And then a one-day Magic Kingdom ticket is $105. So they're the same right now. And then the two-day... A two-day park-to-park ticket at Universal plus tax is $234.29. And a two-day park hopper at Walt Disney World is $257.73. So an argument can be made, well, Walt Disney World has 4 parks, so that's why the park hopper needs to be a little bit more expensive. Would you guys agree to that? That's probably their argument?
Sense.
Yeah.
Sure, makes sense.
Yeah. So, and just looking at like what you get with the tickets, you know, Universal does not include fast passes or their form of the unlimited express pass with their tickets. That's a separate add-on. So if you want to do that per day for both parks, Islands of Adventure and Universal Studios, it's $59.99 for just one of them. So let's say you're just going to Islands of Adventure for the day. It would be $49.99 per day. And then, of course, at Walt Disney World, fast passes are included in your My Disney Experience account for, and you get 3 per person per day. So,
okay.
Yeah.
The parking is the same cost, too, as well. They both raised their prices, I know, last year. They're both at $20, I believe, is the number. I know that Universal went to $20. I think that was Magic and Disney.
I didn't look up that. I never pay attention to parking because I always just do Magical Express and.
Yeah, we stay on property and take the bus.
Why do I need a?
It's true.
You know, so that's one of the arguments when some of my clients ask about, you know, how about staying off site, and yeah, it's a little bit cheaper, but then if you factor, you know, $20 per day times 5 days, you know, that's an extra cost. So
plus there's the cost of running the car and gas for the car and.
Yeah, and I mean, gas is good right now, so you can, you know, make an argument for that. But, you know, running a car in Orlando, yes, it's competitive. But, you know, it's depending on what kind of vehicle you want and how the length of stay is, you know.
So in comparing apples to apples here of the two resorts, they're similarly priced right now without Disney raising their price, which I guess would be somewhat expected, but even with a modest price increase, they're not all that far apart because they're tied right now. So I guess it comes down to your perceptions of essentially if you like thrill rides, if you like family attractions, if you like the shows and quality of entertainment. And, you know, I guess there's a price on your memories and what you grew up with and going back to that. But I guess in comparing apples to apples, they're very similar in terms of price. Right now, both parks. So
yeah. So I mean, typically when you think of, well, this is my personal opinion. When I think of Universal, I think of roller coasters like the Hulk and, you know, kind of like those more intense rides.
Okay.
And when I think of Disney, I don't necessarily automatically go to Space Mountain. I kind of just think of family and Fantasyland and Mickey Mouse and, you know, so you can make an argument for that. You know, Universal's got Transformers and, you know, Harry Potter, of course, which I'm a huge Harry Potter fan as well. So,
you're a Potterhead?
I'm a Potterhead. Love Harry.
Just so you know.
We can go off on a tangent about that, too, if we'd like to.
Laura, it's really hard to compete against that. You know, to have your first thought be family and making memories. That's really hard to compete against. That's going to almost always win.
Yeah, and I would consider myself, well,
nostalgic.
Obviously, I'm a Disney fan, but did you say a skeptic?
No, I said nostalgic.
Oh, nostalgic. I thought you said a skeptic.
Yeah.
I mean, having only been to Universal once, and, you know, we had a great time. I definitely want to go back. I just haven't had the opportunity to. And most of the time, the reason being is either time. Like, in April, I'm only going down for, a quick weekend trip, so I don't have time to go to Universal. Or, rather, I don't want to make time because I want to spend time at Disney. But last year, when Charles and I were on our honeymoon, we wanted to go to Universal for a day and check out all the Harry Potter, you know, worlds. And you can, certainly, but you have to pay for at least a one-day park-to-park ticket because both... You have to have a park-to-park ticket to get to see both areas of Harry Potter. And at the time, we didn't have a rental car. So then we would have to get a one-day rental car plus a one-day park-to-park ticket. And then I thought, well, we might as well get the Unlimited Express Pass because if we're only going to be there for one day, we want to make our time wise, you know. And we were looking just tickets alone, almost over like $500. And we quickly said, no. Let's go. Because we had
$500 to see Harry Potter. No!
Well, that's exactly. And, you know,
we can go to Epcot for 5 days.
Exactly. And we had our annual passes from Disney. So it's like, okay, Disney for free, technically, quote unquote, or Universal for over $500. So that quickly went on the back burner, and someday we'll make it. I just don't know when.
Okay. I will say we've been to Universal multiple times, and every time we go, we are impressed. That's a really good product.
Mm-hmm.
It's you know, and it almost sounds like blasphemy, but it's almost as well themed as the Disney parks. It's not thrown together. It's not Six Flags. I know I have a Six Flags season pass here. You know, it is a really good product. Some of my kid memories are actually Confrontation and seeing the Jaws ride, taking my 3-year-old daughter and seeing her tear up in horror as she approached the Jaws ride. I know it sounds like I'm going to win Father of the Year, but
Father of the Year right here.
In all seriousness, it was it's pretty special as well too. So I don't want people to listen and think that we're so pro Disney we're blinded by anything Universal could put out, because it's not true. And though I've not been in a couple years, we were actually visiting when they were building at the Islands of Adventure the Wizarding World, and that's just awesome. I mean, that is something special and unique. So I don't want it to come across as though we're so blinded by the Disney product that we can't even see how good it is down the road. I know it's good down the road. I know it really is. Just for my kids right now and the ages and the things they watch on TV right now, Disney claims more of my dollar right now than Universal. And as they get older, that may shift. But for right now, it's squarely in the mouse's hands, that's for sure. So, interesting.
Yeah, so... Go ahead,
Pete. What did you compare? What did I give you homework on?
So, you gave me SeaWorld, Busch Gardens, Legoland, NASA, Wet and Wild, and probably a half dozen other things. I did SeaWorld, Busch Gardens, and Legoland.
Okay.
I love SeaWorld, by the way.
Cool.
So
we were having a good conversation about that earlier, Laura, too.
SeaWorld has their pricing is lower. I'll tell you that right off the bat. A 1-day ticket for SeaWorld will cost you $79.
Mm-hmm.
And they have 2-day tickets, 3-day tickets. They also have an unlimited visit for 14 consecutive days. That if you're going to go to SeaWorld that many times, that's the way to go. That is, it's $140. You're basically spending $10 per day to go to one of four parks, because their tickets are actually shared. That ticket will get you into SeaWorld Orlando, Aquatica Orlando, Adventure Island in Tampa, and Busch Gardens in Tampa. They actually, those two parks, or four parks, share tickets. Now, they also have a dining package, a dining plan for SeaWorld. For adults, it's $34.99 per day per adult and $19.99 per day per kid between the ages of 3 and 9.
Okay.
So you can prepay your dining at least. So that's kind of nice. We all know dining in the parks can be expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But here is what I've figured out. Okay. SeaWorld is open from 9 o'clock in the morning, and it closes at 7 o'clock at night. The 1-day ticket, which is what we're primarily looking at today, is $79 plus tax. I'm just going to skip the tax. Other than a dollar, we'll make it an even $80. You're getting the park for 10 hours. You're paying $8 an hour for that park experience. Busch Gardens has park hours going from 10 in the morning until 6 in the evening. You're paying $10 an hour for that park experience for a 1-day ticket.
Mm-hmm.
You can go, now, this, everything I'm talking about is going on on June 1st of this year.
Okay.
June 1st of this year, Magic Kingdom is open from 9 in the morning until 10 o'clock at night, with extra magic hours from 10 at night until midnight. So theoretically, you have up to 15 hours in that park. Do some quick math. How much are you paying per hour? You're paying more to go to SeaWorld or Busch Gardens than you are if you take full advantage of the hours you have available to you. Then it'll cost you to go to Magic Kingdom for a day. Per hour.
My math skills are weak, so we got 15 hours, and we're going to divide that by 105 plus tax, which is like 111. Look at that. Terrible. $7 an hour, roughly. $7 and change. You're right. And that midnight closure, that's not so rare in the summertime either. It sounds like it's special, but in summertime, that's fairly common,
right.
That late night closure. So, interesting.
You know, and that's going to Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
Some of the other parks, yeah, you have less time, but you're also paying a little less money.
You're paying a little less money, yeah.
You know, Epcot Future World is 9A to 9P.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's 12 hours there, but you're also paying less than $100 a ticket.
Yeah. What about, you said you did Legoland too as well. What did you find there?
Legoland has some very interesting pricing.
Okay.
Legoland based their ticket prices based on how far in advance you buy your tickets.
Okay.
So now if you buy a one-day adult ticket more than 7 days from the day you want to go, it's $74. Now that same ticket between 2 and 6 days before you want to go is $79. If you buy your ticket the day of, you walk up to the counter and say, hey, I need 2 adults and 2 kids. Well, you're going to spend $89 per ticket for the adult and $82 per ticket for the child.
Hmm. So that increased by what, 13? You said 76 to 89?
It's 74 to 89. So it's a $15 swing just based on buying your tickets a week earlier than you're going to go there.
I should say all of our prices that we're reporting to are directly from their site, so we're not using a third party.
Yeah, no,
this isn't
Undercover Tourist or, you know, Tickets at Work or anything else that, you know, somebody may have access to.
Okay.
Now, park hours for Legoland, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., so you're 12 hours. Yeah? No. 9 hours. So you're looking at $10 an hour if you buy tickets day of.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, Legoland is 45 minutes from Orlando and 45 minutes from Tampa. So it's in between.
Okay.
SeaWorld Busch Gardens does not have their own resort. This is a little extra. Legoland does have their own hotel. And again, I priced out a week from June 1st to June 7th. Average price per night is $288 a night.
Standard room. Okay.
Starting average price for that week is $288 a night. To give you a little bit of perspective on that, Pop Century, rack. Now these are all rack rates. $151 a night.
I know somebody that can get it cheaper.
Yeah, me too.
I got a girl.
Caribbean Beach Resort. $272 a night.
Wow.
Saratoga Springs, $497 a night. Art of Animation, $387 a night. The All-Stars are $157 a night. Port Orleans French Quarter, $207 a night.
Hmm.
That's rack.
$207 at... French Quarter. So it's...
$71 cheaper than Legoland.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and I'm curious, too, how many people, you know, if they're going to Legoland, do they stay a week? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it's still a lot of money.
I don't know. But, like I said, I picked... That's the average per night for the week.
Okay.
I took that price directly off the Legoland website, which took me about 15-20 minutes, because their website is so horrible.
Okay.
Now, like I said, that's rack rate. If you could take advantage of that spring travel offer that Disney's got going, how about this? For another $60, you can stay at Saratoga Springs. Or for another $45. How about the villas at Kidani Village at Animal Kingdom? $332 a night. Art of Animation becomes $22 more expensive than the Legoland Hotel per night at $310.
Hmm. Interesting. Really interesting. Do they have any kind of like incentive if you stay there, though, Pete? Is there something included with that? Discounted tickets at that point?
I could find on their website. But like I said, with the difficulty I had in navigating their website, there could have been something. I may have just not been able to find it.
Okay.
They do also have their own water park. You can add water park admission for an additional $20 per day to those tickets, ticket prices I already mentioned. And that $20 extra is regardless if you're a child or an adult.
Okay, just $20 increased.
Yep.
And are all the water slides made of Legos?
You know, I couldn't even find a picture of their water park, so I'm not sure.
Okay.
I really, really had a hard time getting through that that website. It's just very, very difficult to navigate.
Okay.
I mean, the SeaWorld website and Busch Gardens website, not the easiest in the world to navigate, but better.
Okay.
And in comparison to the ease at which you can navigate the Disney website, not even close.
And that counts for a whole heck of a lot, doesn't it, when you're booking for your frustration level?
It does. I mean, even if you call one of the great agents over at Magic for Less, Laura, maybe her, you know, people are still going to want to go online and look at stuff for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can all take a travel agent's word for it, but people are people. They're going to want to form their own opinion of some degree as well. So, yeah, I trust Laura. But if she says, hey, Pete, you got to go check out All-Star Sports, guess what? No offense, Laura. I'm checking out All-Star Sports online before I go stay there.
Oh, yeah.
And I would do that with any resort.
Right. That's why, I mean, I always send out resort guides. Just for people to know, they're stuck between two resorts, to send them guides to see, you know, what they're thinking. So, yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about what I compared to, because I gave you guys some of the big ones. I kind of focus on the smaller attractions, so to speak. So, essentially what I looked at was the Orlando Eye, and I looked at Ripley's Orlando. I looked at Fun Spot, the Boggy Creek Airboats, and Gatorland. So I kind of focused on what would be considered either hourly attractions or like a half day or a day attraction in the Orlando area. And I've actually gone to a couple of these myself. So assuming this is the assumption I made, that when a family goes to the Magic Kingdom, so to speak, I figure the average visit would last about 12 hours. And that's not taking into consideration they're going back for a nap. They're just staying overall 12 hours, whether they go back for an hour or they don't. So a 12-hour visit at the average ticket price of $105 plus tax.
Bless you.
So
thank you.
To make math easy, I'm raising Disney's prices so it equals out to be a flat $120. That makes math really easy. It's $10 per hour at a 12-hour visit. You with me so far?
Yes.
Okay.
This is not permission to raise ticket prices to $120, by the way.
I was going to say.
Okay. So here's what we did recently. We went to the Orlando Eye. We had a really rotten, cold, rainy day. But it wasn't gray. It was just a rain. Well, I guess it was a Florida day. So we went to the Orlando Eye attraction. And we weren't sure what to expect, though. We have been to the London Eye, and that was a really neat attraction. So we took the family of five to the Orlando Eye, and they have a similar program where if you buy the ticket in advance, and I believe it was one day in advance, you can buy the adult ticket for $20 and the kid ticket for $15. If you walk up, it's $5 more expensive. So the adult's $25 and the child's $20. And the attraction includes a movie, which is a pretty neat movie to start off with, and then the actual ride on the eye itself. But all in all, it goes roughly an hour, maybe an hour and 15 minutes tops from the moment you walk into the building to the moment you leave the building. So you're talking just slightly over an hour. So you compare simply hour to hour entertainment, that's expensive. It got expensive. It was a lot. We spent over $100 for my family to ride on a Ferris wheel for roughly 35 minutes and see a movie. So that was a pretty expensive cost. Now, there's really nothing like that in the Orlando area. So it's a once type attraction. We're not going back, obviously. But like I said, just trying to compare apples to apples of the hour load of $10 an hour at a $100, $20 ticket. Ripley's Orlando, that actually seemed to be a little cheaper. The adult was $19.99, the child was $12.99. You can save $3 if you book online, and that would actually take you a little longer than an hour, but not much more. Parking's free, so I should say the parking was free at the Orlando Y as well, too. So, in comparing that, you're still spending $20 for the adult. You're not going to spend 2 hours there. You're going to spend an hour there, tops. So when you compare your math, it's still more expensive than a Disney ticket in approximate hour load. Fun Spot's got a single day pass, and that's all day go-karts, roller coasters, thrill rides, etc. It's $45.95. You could save $5 by booking that online. It does not include like their giant sky ride or their sky coaster, whatever that's called. But that's actually not too bad of a value when you consider, you know, you can go on all day go-karts and roller coasters and thrill rides. Though you'd have to Google Fun Spot Orlando and look at the scope of the park before you determine you'd actually want to spend all day there. Because roller coasters were fun, but I don't know if they're as much fun at the stage I am in life right now. I think my 10-year-old son would disagree with me, of course. But you'd have to debate whether you'd want to actually spend more than 5 or 6 hours there. And if you factor that number in, you're pretty close to that $10 per hour mark as well, too, there. Boggy Creek Airboat. A half-hour tour for an adult, $27.95. Kids, $21.95. That's a half-an-hour airboat ride. If you went for a full hour, $44.95 for adults, $39.95 for kids. That's 1 hour. Okay, now, in their defense, I've never been. And actually, I'd like to go, because I think there's something beautiful about the swamps in Florida, and I would like to go. But man, if you just start adding those prices up, you got 45 for each adult, and you got 40 for each kids. I have a family of five. I'm looking at over $200 for an hour with my family. That gets really pricey. But that leads me to my final attraction, which is the Gatorland Park. And have you guys ever been to Gatorland?
No.
No.
Okay. It's like one of the old-school Florida throwback attractions.
I've driven by it.
Yeah, it's something that a lot of people have driven by, and rarely do you go in. A couple years ago, we actually decided we're going to make a day out of this, so we went over to Gatorland. And the park's not open terribly long. It's roughly 10 to 5, so it's a 7-hour park. But I will tell you, it's one of the coolest things we've done in Florida. So I'm a big supporter of Gatorland, and if you like SeaWorld, I'm not equating gators to marine mammals at all, or aquatic animals, but it's a really cool attraction, and that's actually fairly inexpensive. Adults are $26.99. Children are $18.99. You can save $3 online, so you can bring it down to $23.99 for 7 hours at the park. Now, you're thinking, yeah, it's a gator, but there's more to do. They have nature trails, and they have various shows, and there's something unique about seeing a chicken fence hold a 12-foot alligator between you and it, and seeing the power and majesty of this thing that's right next to you, and it's like a primordial lizard just sitting there. But the way they present it, and like they have a train that goes around the park, it's something pretty cool. So I'm not saying when you go to Disney you must go to Gatorland, but if you ever have the opportunity to go to Gatorland, the cost actually is respectable. You're talking for a family of five about $100. So in terms of that, or the 1 hour of Boggy Creek Airboats at double the cost. Or it could just be any airboat. That's good value as far as Gatorland goes. And of course, you're going to say that's not nearly the experience going to the Magic Kingdom. And I agree. Magic Kingdom is unlike anything else. But simply comparing, you know, in terms of hour load, the attraction and the dollar per hour, that seems to be the best as far as straight up comparison. So, you know, I think we all have our own opinions, but something else I pulled for you was I pulled a study from the Themed Entertainment Association, who did a report in conjunction with AECOM, and essentially it's theme park attendance numbers. So this compares theme park attendance numbers from 2013 to 2014. 2015's numbers aren't out yet. They will be out in late May, early June. So this is simply the numbers of attendance and percentage change up or down and the rankings of the theme parks worldwide. So just to throw a number at you, Magic Kingdom had, in 2013, had 18,588,000 people show up. It rose by 4% in 2014 to 19,332,000 people. So if I didn't quote any stats the rest of the day, this is what I would tell you. They can raise prices because business-wise, well, they can. It's like a supply and demand basic, you know, equation here. They actually increased attendance. So for everyone who says, oh, that's terrible and we can't afford to go, I get it. Believe me, no one has money that we're just throwing around. I'm not burning money myself. But the reason they're doing this is because solid economics bear that they can do this. The theme park attendance rose by 4%. That's huge. And that's just Magic Kingdom. Disneyland in California rose by 3.5% from 16.2 to 16.769. Epcot rose by 2%. Animal Kingdom rose by 2%. Hollywood Studios rose by 2%. Universal Studios rose by 17%. Now, that was buoyed based upon Harry Potter. The Islands of Adventure, that number actually wasn't reported. There is a number here, but it's the exact same number, so I know that number is incorrect. So it's based on solid economics of simple supply and demand. So if they can get it, they're not doing it because they're trying to supplement falling attendance. Attendance is growing. And Disney uses those words phase closure. I know how much you guys love the word phase closure. If they can use the word phase closure, attendance is good. And if attendance is good, that's the time to raise prices. So I'm certainly not looking to give them more of my money, but I'm willing to give them more of my money for the same quality entertainment they're providing me and my family right now. What do you guys think on that?
Yeah, I just, you know, 105, I mean, I never pay for a one-day ticket,
okay,
personally, but just that sticker shock of $105, you yeah. know, and then plus tax is, it's a lot. Yes.
So. Yeah, for me, I mean, one-day ticket never comes into play for me.
Right, yeah, I'm not going to go.
So,
I guess we should have stated that we're only comparing 1 days and 2 days as opposed to the 6 and 7 and 10 days, which... You know, Disney wants to discount greatly to keep you on their property and keep the dollar in their pocket. So we get that too, but they're also the only one who has enough of the attraction to do that. You mentioned that Busch Gardens was teamed up with SeaWorld.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have a shuttle or anything, Pete?
I
thought they might have a shuttle that takes
you. No, it's actually about a 45-minute drive in between the two parks.
But do they have a free shuttle if you get to SeaWorld? Will they take you to Busch Gardens?
You know, I didn't see it on there.
Okay.
If I had to make a guess, I would say probably not.
Okay.
Only because if you're at SeaWorld, to actually take the bus all the way over to Busch Gardens, let's say it takes you an hour. Well, Busch Gardens is only open for 8 hours as it is. So it doesn't seem like it would make a lot of sense to do that. But...
Busch Gardens had a 1% increase in their attendance, too, so they're doing well as well.
So is this the TEA
yes.
study you got? Okay. So I just pulled up the top 12 or top 25 in the world.
Mm-hmm. They didn't make the worldwide list, but they made the North America list. So.
Okay.
But still otherwise interesting. That just shows you, you know what, with the discounted ticket. So, again, you know, I agree with you guys. The one-day ticket, that's not a good option. The two-day ticket's not a good option. It really doesn't become affordable until you get down to the five-day ticket. So I get that as well, too. Laura.
Yeah.
We were talking earlier about Universal, and I know you've not stayed much at Universal. Are there any specials right now at Universal? Do they have any incentives, like a travel agent special to go a theme park ticket, or do they have any specials that would compete against Disney property to lure guests to them?
Well, I just did a random week in July for 5 nights for Universal and Disney And currently, Disney doesn't have any special out for summer, with the exception of that one meal discount for the value resorts.
Okay.
So what I did was, because Universal only has, you know, a few resorts, so, you know, Disney has tons. So what I did is I took one value resort at Disney World and compared it to a Universal, what they call a value, but their terminology is a preferred hotel. So I did a five-night stay at Cabana Bay Beach Resort in a standard room with a four-day park-to-park pass. That came out to $1,878.21, and that is with a discount. And adding the unlimited express pass to that, oh, this was a family of four, by the way.
Okay.
Came out to $2,708.89. So a significant price jump for the additional of the express pass. And then I added the dining plan with the express pass, and that came out to $3,662.97. So then I did the same thing for Disney, and I chose Pop Century in a standard room, four-day park hopper, $2,381.96, and of course that includes the fast passes.
Mm-hmm.
And then plus dining came out to $3,618.76. When I included the discount for the dining for the value resort, it came out to $3,277.76. So, in the words of my students, blah, 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 what does this all mean? you know, if you compare just tickets and hotel room, no discount, Universal is less. But you have to think about what you get with the Universal ticket at this Cabana Bay Beach Resort. I mean, you don't get the express pass. And at Disney, you get the three fast passes. So, to some, that's a big deal, you know?
What about early entry, Laura?
Early entry applies to...
So, you know, if you stay on property at Disney, you have your extra magic hours.
Right. And if you stay on property at Universal, you do get early park admission to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. And you get transportation to the parks. If you stay at one of the premier hotels, so Lowe's Royal Pacific, Hard Rock Hotel, and Lowe's Portofino Bay, you get free Universal Express Pass, priority seating at select restaurants throughout the theme parks and City Walk, in addition to the early park admission and transportation. So you pay a little bit more at what they call the premier resorts, and you get more value that way, but then you're paying more per night. But, you know, if you compare, like I did Lowe's Portofino Bay, which is, comparable to a deluxe resort at Disney, and I compared that to the Polynesian. So I thought, okay, two premier resorts, you know. Five-night stay for a family of four in July with a four-day park hopper at Disney is $4,243.76. Compare that to Lowe's Portofino Bay with a four-day park-to-park is $2,977.89. That's the difference. You know, that's the difference. So I think the market is merging a little bit with Harry Potter. You know, I think it can be, I keep on saying it can be argued, but that Harry Potter really changed things up down there. And I think before people were doing, staying at Disney and then going over to Universal, and definitely that's still happening. But I think more and more you see people staying at Universal and then driving to Disney.
Well,
so not in doubt, you know, I don't have any numbers to back that up, but I mean, if you look on, you know, the internet on different groups and everything, people are asking about, you know, staying at Disney, going to Universal, and then, in addition, going to Universal and then driving to Disney for a day.
This is, of course, the very least statement you'll make, but you, I mean, someone who is in my position would actually understand too as well. The Universal hotels, they're actually pet friendly, if that counts for anything, believe it or not. There's none on Disney that are, save a few of the rooms in the campground or spots in the campground.
Yeah, you have the Best Friends Hotel on Disney across from Port Orleans Riverside. But
I mean,
I would like to stay at Universal at some point, especially they have got that new resort coming out. It's called the Sapphire Falls Resort. And if you go online and look at the concept art for that resort, it's supposed to open in July. It's beautiful. And it's kind of on the same level as the Cabana Bay Resort in terms of the value, and you don't get the unlimited express pass, but, you know, it's another value resort. And, going rate anywhere between $87 and $117 per night at Cabana Bay and Sapphire Falls. And the way Universal runs their specials right now, well, right now there's a new special for Sapphire Falls. You get $150 food and beverage credit if you're one of the first people to stay there for travel July 14th through December 15th, just no Thanksgiving week. So they're really pushing that new resort out there, and it's beautiful. It looks beautiful. Okay. So if any of our listeners are staying there, I'd be curious to see what you think about it.
Cool.
So
one final question before we wrap this up. I know we've probably gone long already today, but it was an interesting topic. So one final question. I know Pete mentioned it, but let's assume that Disney's going to have a price increase, and it could be $3, it could be $5, but let's say the total price got to, including tax, $120 at the Magic Kingdom. And it's not, but let's say it did. Peter, value or no value? Be honest.
For me personally, it's I still have a value there, and it's my history is at Disney. My history. I've been to Universal years ago, you know, back when they still had Jaws and, you know, E.T. and all that stuff. But my memories are at Disney.
Okay.
Not at Universal. The extra money to me is still worth going to the place where I have happy memories from childhood.
Okay. Fair enough answer. Laura, what about you? Value or not a value?
Yeah. I, of course, think it's a value. I'm still going to go if they raise the prices. I mean, I might not go as often or stay as long, but, you know, I'm definitely going to go. The only thing that concerns me, and I'm sure it concerns a lot of people, is, you know, with the renovations at Hollywood Studios, you know, is, I mean, I wouldn't go to Disney ever without a park hopper. You know, to me, if I can't afford the park hopper, then I don't know. Because, yeah, the park hopper is an added expense, but especially now with the renovations at Hollywood Studios, and, I mean, even at Epcot with Soarin' down, you know, I went to go book my Fast Passes for April, and in Epcot, there are not a lot of choices for Fast Passes. You know, you can get a Fast Pass for Turtle Talk with Crush, but do you need it? No. Yeah. Not really. So, you know, I'm going to go for the park hopper, and I kind of arrange my park days in ways of where can I get the most value out of my Fast Passes for it.
Okay.
So, I get park hopper for a different reason. I'm not paying to go to Magic Kingdom for the day and then going to pay to go have dinner at Epcot. Majority of my sit-down meals are done at Epcot. In all honesty.
Okay.
Because I feel some of the best restaurants on property that I enjoy the most, I should say, are at World Showcase and Epcot.
Yeah, I think that's probably a pretty accurate statement too.
Yeah.
I would agree with you on that.
You know, yeah, I have I love Yachtsman Steakhouse. You know, Flying Fish is a favorite of mine as well. But if you said you're going to be there for 3 days, pick three restaurants to sit down at for dinner, well, as cliche as it is, Le Cellier is probably making the list.
Pete, you're giving away a show topic for the future, just so you know.
there's another one in the Italy Pavilion, and another one in the Italy Pavilion, and...
Yeah. Okay.
Wait, there are restaurants in the Italy Pavilion?
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, if you can make it past the gelato cart, there's actually two of them. I may or may not get stuck at the gelato cart occasionally, but whatever.
Just briefly before we wrap it up, too, I will say that it's still a value, in my opinion, as well, too. My family doesn't vacation. Essentially, we don't blitz the parks. We take it nice and easy on vacation, and for a week's stay, we might go to one, maybe two parks, and that's it. And we try to enjoy the resorts as much as possible. I mean, that's the way we like to unwind and relax. So, this is going to sound bad, but, you know, whatever the price is, we're going to be willing to pay it. Of course, it doesn't hurt me saying that, knowing that I've got a couple 10-day no-expiration passes just waiting to go that I bought about 2 years ago that I've got no use on just yet, but... No matter what, I go on vacation once, maybe twice per year. I don't have the annual pass, so for my family to enjoy all that theming and that quality of entertainment, I'm going to pay it. And if it was $120, I'm going to pay it. If it was higher, you know what? We can hem and haw and crab about it. I'm going to pay it. And so it's like, damn you, Disney, take my money. But I'm going to pay it no matter what it is, because I value the type of vacation I can get there.
You have an extra little something in your back pocket too, though, Chris.
That's true. But even if I didn't, I would say the same thing. Just knowing how we vacation and knowing how we value a really good quality vacation, we're willing to spend that money. So I know what it can bring my family. I know the kind of enjoyment it brings us, and I know the kind of quality I'm going to get. So I'm cool with it. But other things to consider as well too. Other types of vacations as well too. But anyways, guys, thanks for participating today. I know I gave you some homework, so I appreciate you guys doing the research. I did the research myself too. Before we go, one last thing. I know Pete's mentioned the last few times, and I want to mention it again. I know that St. Baldrick's Foundation is coming up with their Shave the Head for support of fighting against pediatric cancer, and my good buddy Pete over there again is going to be participating. Pete, how can they support you in this if they wanted to? I know I'm going to be supporting you on this.
Well, they can go to the St. Baldrick's website and just search my name, Peter Pontecorvo, and my unshaven head will pop up there for you. And then I'll say, you know, make a donation, you know, whatever you want to do.
And you got a lot of hair, too, right now.
Yeah, I do have quite a bit of hair right now, actually. So okay. I'm actually in the process of growing it out for St. Baldrick's.
There you go. Make it a little bit more dramatic.
Hey, Pete, Laura said she was going to shave it too for this, I heard.
Yeah, finally.
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, no.
No?
I would not be pretty bald.
You know, that's what all the girls that do it say at first, and then they realize it actually looks better than they thought they would.
I know, yeah.
A great cause, and we're
happy to donate.
So anyways, guys, I appreciate you listening and downloading today. I know our show went long today. It's a topic that we're going to face every year. So just trying to give you some comparables to things around Orlando. So again, I appreciate you guys downloading and listening. You know, we're found on iTunes, Stitcher, on our own site, thewwreview.com. We would really love it if you liked the show. If you didn't like the show, you know what? We could appreciate that as well, too. Give us a review on iTunes. But if they wanted to reach me, I'm on Twitter at Disney Chicago. And on Facebook, we have the Dubs page at WDW Review. And you can just contact me on Facebook at Chris Malik. Pete, how could they get a hold of you?
I'm on Facebook. Just search for me. And I'm on Twitter at Magic Mouse Medic. Just as one more other... quick note, if anybody else is following their favorite Disney internet radio sites over to TuneIn, you can find us on TuneIn as well. You just have to search for us and follow us over on TuneIn. You can pick up the podcast over on TuneIn. Yeah. Laura, how about
you? I'm going to book Sapphire Falls. How do I get a hold of you?
You can you send me an email at laurafitz@themagicforless.com or contact me on my Facebook page or on Twitter. You can catch me at DidLauraT. And just for a disclaimer, I do have my Facebook and Twitter linked. So if you ever see like a weird link posted on Twitter, that'll just take you back to my Facebook page. So I'm not spamming you. That was brought to my attention. So.
Okay. You wanna close the show today, Laura? Send everyone off.
Sure.
I'll put you on the spot.
Since she won't, I will.
All right. Fire away.
For Chris and Laura, this is Pete, and this has been the WWV Podcast. We'll see you next time, everybody. Good night.
Bye. Thanks.
Good night.